Undercover Gaze on the Rainbow Minute.
We're talking about a group of people who declare openly sexual attraction to a particular segment of the population.
Our members who are straight, who are heterosexual, allowed in our military to say that they are straight.
There's no prohibition to my knowledge.
Why do you believe that's a special accommodation to somebody who is gay?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Chile's top court civil unionizes a lesbian couple's Spanish marriage, Poland moves to criminalize sex education, and before they asked and after we told. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 18th, 2020. Two late-breaking stories top our Queer World newscast this week. Chile's Constitutional Court has rebuffed a lesbian couple's bid to have their legal Spanish marriage fully recognized at home. Two sections of Chilean law were at issue. One of them restricts civil marriage to one man and one woman. The other requires foreign legal marriages of same-gender couples to only be registered as civil unions. The justices upheld both by a 5-4 vote. However, the legal battle over marriage equality in Chile is far from over. It's one of 20 North, Central, and South American and Caribbean countries bound by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. A November 2017 decision by that court requires gay and lesbian couples to have equal access to civil marriage. Six of the countries already have marriage equality, but Chile is one of the 14 that still do not. Meanwhile, one of South America's marriage equality countries hit a complication this week. According to El Espectador, Colombia's Constitutional Court upheld a civil code provision defining one of the primary purposes of civil marriage to be procreation.
Polish lawmakers are considering jailing sex education teachers for promoting underage sex. Supporters of the Stop Pedophilia bill claim that sex education teachers often groom and familiarize children with homosexuality. They accuse LGBTQ activists of leading a sex education lobby in the country. Poland's governing Law and Justice Party has a long anti-queer track record. Its leaders consistently call LGBTQ rights an invasive foreign influence that threatens heavily Roman Catholic Polish society. If the bill passes, critics fear it will be used to imprison educators who discuss sexual orientation, discrimination, or reproductive health in their classrooms. Sentences could range up to 3 years. Thousands protested the equation of homosexuality with pedophilia this week, braving the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown by waving flags and banners from their cars. Some are also protesting a complete stop abortion bill that's also in the works.
It's a very cynical move, according to Amnesty International Poland spokesperson Dragina Nadezhyn. She told Reuters, "Instead of listening to tens of thousands of people who defied the lockdown, participated in protests both online and offline, they decided to continue working on the Stop Pedophilia bill." Hilary Margulis of Human Rights Watch also chided, "The Polish government's focus during the pandemic should be to protect people's health and rights, not diminish them." But Ola Kazorek of the LGBTQ rights group Love Does Not Exclude Association said the proposal's referral to parliamentary commission is a good sign. She notes that it's a tradition for bills the government doesn't want to pass, but still won't outright vote no for, so as not to enrage some lobby groups.
Virginia is now the first state in the southern U.S. to protect LGBTQ people from discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations. Democratic Governor Ralph Northam signed the Virginia Values Act into law on April 11th. Northam's signing statement said that the measure sends a strong, clear message. Virginia is a place where all people are welcome to live, work, visit, and raise a family. The Democratic majority that took over the state legislature in the November 2018 election blue wave has passed a string of pro-queer bills that had no chance under state Republicans. They include a bill to prohibit health insurance discrimination against transgender patients sponsored by transgender lawmaker Danica Rome. A separate bill allows voters to cast ballots without showing photo ID, a ploy used to disenfranchise minority voters that's also a potential stumbling block for trans people. Gay State Senator Adam Eben sponsored a bill that formally repeals Virginia's ban on marriage equality. According to Mara Kiesling of the National Center for Transgender Equality, the governor has signed a bill mandating equal educational opportunities for trans students. Northam signed a law banning so-called conversion therapy in March.
The state of Idaho and its Republican governor, Brad Little, are being sued over a bill that penalizes transgender girls. The Fairness in Women's Sports Act bans transgender girls from competing in women's sports in the state's public schools and colleges. One provision in the law particularly alarms civil rights activists. That's the invasive gender verification procedures it allows. HB 500 made Idaho the first U.S. state to force trans people out of scholastic athletics. The American Civil Liberties Union of Idaho filed suit in federal court on April 15th. They're representing two female plaintiffs, an unnamed 17-year-old cisgender student at Boise High School who's concerned about the bill's gender verification requirements, and 19-year-old Boise State University trans athlete Lindsay Hecox, who says that she just wants to run with the other girls on the team. Their lawsuit challenges what it calls a hateful, unconstitutional law. ACLU of Idaho legal director Richie Epping told the Idaho Statesman, "Businesses, major employers, schools, doctors, and counselors have all warned that this law is terrible for Idaho."
Activists now say that transgender Peruvians are experiencing the same kind of COVID-19 lockdown harassment previously reported by trans people in Panama. Trans people in Panama are only recognized by their self-identified gender if they can prove they've had reassignment surgery. Both countries have gender-based rules governing who can go out when. Men and women can be on the streets to shop or run other needed errands on alternating days during the week. And no one is allowed out on Sundays. Transgender Peruvians can be arrested whichever day they go out. It happened to Peruvian trans woman Alexandra Arana this week. She described to El Comercio how police stopped her as she walked to the market on a women's day out. Her national ID card says she's male, so police ordered her to immediately get off the street. At least the gender-based guidelines have been rescinded in Peru, according to the BBC. A government spokesperson explained that in a patriarchal society, where women do most of the shopping, the guidelines were ineffective. It may be no coincidence, however, that the lockdown protocol changed a week after Peru's embarrassing defeat in the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. The government was found guilty of not prosecuting police for the rape and torture of a transgender woman.
In queer COVID-19 news this week, Manhattan real estate agent and LGBTQ philanthropist Robbie Brown died of complications from the coronavirus on April 11th. The outgoing activist and queer cause fundraiser rubbed shoulders with celebrities ranging from Whoopi Goldberg, Olympian Greg Louganis, and actresses Hilary Swank and Uma Thurman to Rosie O'Donnell, rocker Jon Bon Jovi, CNN's Don Lemon, and Law & Order's Mariska Hargitay.
At least three men who attended the annual Miami Beach winter party have succumbed to the disease. The yearly fundraising gala for the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force drew some 10,000 mostly gay male attendees from March 4th through 10th. Dozens of them have since tested positive for the virus. The first winter party goer to reportedly die of COVID was 40-year-old Miami resident Israel Carreras. He was a radiologist, performed as a go-go boy at various events, and had no known health challenges. Carreras' boyfriend, Franco Conquista, urged young people in particular to take the pandemic seriously. COVID-19 doesn't just kill old people, Conquista told local media. The task force is also mourning the death of volunteer Ron Rich from COVID-19 complications. The 65-year-old Fort Lauderdale musician was a former high school band director. 67-year-old Fort Lauderdale real estate agent and concert pianist Tom Carr is the latest reported winter party death. Carr is survived by his husband of 35 years, Jay Hyder.
Finally, the week after Easter, one Liberty University student is refusing to be financially crucified by the Christian college founded by the late televangelist and moral majority leader, Jerry Falwell. Jerry Jr. is now in charge. BuzzFeed News reported this week that an anonymous student is suing Liberty for keeping the Lynchburg, Virginia campus open during the COVID-19 pandemic, but refusing to refund thousands of dollars in fees to students who have opted to stay elsewhere. Those campus fees include prepaid housing, meals, and health care. The lawsuit charges that refusing to consider prorated refunds, especially after on-campus classes had been canceled, was not only illusory and empty, but it was also extremely dangerous and irresponsible. Liberty University's statement to BuzzFeed calls the lawsuit without legal merit.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending April 18th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is usually recorded in the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, but we're recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. The news is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Laura Dickinson Turner. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay safe.
Did the Dutch leaders tell you it was because there were gay soldiers there?
It was a combination.
But did they tell you that? That's my question.
They did. They included that as part of the problem.
Turns out it was really that retired U.S. Marine general who was part of the problem. Discover how later in the program. But first, this expanded Rainbow Minute tells how far back the problem actually goes.
Undercover Gaze, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Long before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the American military had been obsessed with the problem of gays in its ranks. In 1919, the U.S. Navy began an investigation of homosexual behavior among personnel in Newport, Rhode Island. Known as the Ladies of Newport, the gay subculture included trysts with civilians and reports of cross-dressing and parties involving alcohol and cocaine. Then Assistant Secretary of the Navy Franklin Roosevelt was put in charge of cleaning the whole matter up. Ostensibly straight sailors were recruited or volunteered to infiltrate the gay community. Chosen for their youth and looks, sworn to secrecy, and using methods that would certainly be considered entrapment today, these operatives submitted daily reports of their subterfuge, including detailed descriptions of their sex acts. After less than 3 weeks of investigation, the first sailors were brought to trial in Newport and charged with sodomy and scandalous conduct. In all, 17 sailors were charged. Most of the defendants were sentenced to terms at a naval prison, two were acquitted, and two were dishonorably discharged. The undercover investigators were commended for their interest and zeal in performing their duties. As the Newport scandal became public, however, a group of clergymen wrote a letter of denunciation to President Woodrow Wilson. Eventually, Assistant Secretary Roosevelt would be called to testify, though he successfully laid responsibility for the by-then discredited investigation on others. By 1922, a new administration was on the way in, five of the arrested sailors were quietly released, and the entire story began its fade into history. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Steve Bush.
Hey everybody, this is Wade Elaria, and you are listening to This Way Out.
It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine, the next is black. So if you want me off your back, well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Transgender U.S. service members and prospective trans recruits have been in limbo for a year now. The Trump administration halted the hard-won Obama-era policy of allowing qualified trans people to serve openly in the military on April 12, 2019. Since then, trans service members who were out at the time may continue to serve, albeit under a cloud of uncertainty and discrimination. Trans people in the military who want to come out and those who want to join up may not. Several lawsuits to lift the ban are crawling through the courts, including a new one filed just last month. As the U.S. military is mobilizing to fight the COVID-19 pandemic, trans military activists and attorneys noted the anniversary of the ban with pleas to be allowed to serve. Interestingly, at about this time 10 years ago, the battle against the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on gay and lesbian service members reached an important turning point that led to its ultimate repeal. Here's how This Way Out covered the events back in 2010.
I'm Taryn James.
And I'm Michelle Pleasant.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 20th, 2010. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in the headlines again this week for more reasons than one. A Senate committee heard sometimes heartfelt and sometimes bizarre testimony on the proposed repeal of the U.S. military policy banning service by open gays and lesbians. Gay Iraq War veteran Lieutenant Dan Choi, whose discharge is pending because he came out on national television, and already discharged former Army infantryman Captain Jim Petrangelo, led a march to the White House to continue protesting the failure of the President and Congress to move more swiftly on the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The two men chained themselves to a White House fence in an act of civil disobedience and were arrested soon thereafter for refusing to leave. They were charged with failure to obey a lawful order by a police officer. According to two reputable bloggers, they spent the night in jail and were led into court the next day in handcuffs and leg irons. Rather than pay the typical $100 fine, each pleaded not guilty. Choi told the judge, "I'm not ashamed, I'm not finished, not guilty." Each man was released, and a somewhat surprised judge set trial dates for late April.
The Senate Armed Services Committee hearings themselves were the first in that body since Don't Ask, Don't Tell was enacted in 1993. They followed similar hearings that were held in the House last month. Former Air Force Major Mike Almy and former U.S. Navy Lieutenant Junior Grade Jenny Kaufstein, who each served in Iraq and Afghanistan, testified about the impact on their lives of being involuntarily discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But the headline-making testimony came from retired U.S. Marine Corps General John Sheehan, who opposes service by open lesbians and gays. He left the military 13 years ago after a 35-year career, serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell for about 3 years. Questions by Committee Chair Carl Levin of Michigan seemed to confirm the retired general's belief that lesbian and gay service members were not entitled to equal treatment.
You said that no special accommodation should be made for any member of the military.
Sure.
Are members who are straight, who are heterosexual, allowed in our military to say that they are straight and heterosexual? Are they allowed to say that without being discharged?
Are they allowed to declare the sexuality?
Yeah, are they allowed to say that, hey, I'm straight, I'm heterosexual? Can you say that without being discharged?
There's no prohibition to my knowledge.
Is that special accommodation to them?
I wouldn't consider a special accommodation.
Why do you believe that's a special accommodation to somebody who is gay?
We're talking about a group of people who declare openly sexual attraction to a particular segment of the population and insist on continuing to live in the intimate proximity with them.
But
that, by law,
you allow that for heterosexuals.
Yes.
You don't have any problem with that.
Don't have a problem with that.
You don't have any problem with men and women serving together, even though they say that they're attracted to each other.
That's correct.
That's not a special accommodation.
No.
But Sheehan's assertion that the Dutch military was weakened by its openly gay and lesbian personnel caused an uproar overseas. We'll have more about that in a few moments. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Pleasant.
And I'm Taryn James.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual...
What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? To accept the principle that homosexuals can't shower with other people is a degree of discrimination that goes far beyond this. I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
lesbian news commentator Rachel Maddow reported on the March 18th U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee hearings about Don't Ask, Don't Tell during her self-titled MSNBC cable program that night, with, as it turned out, a necessary follow-up the next night.
Opponents of repealing the policy today introduced a former Marine general to testify in favor of keeping the policy. His name is General John Sheehan. He's a retired Marine general. He's former Supreme Allied Commander of the Atlantic for NATO.
When the Dutch were required to defend Srebrenica against the Serbs, the battalion was under strength, wholly led, and the Serbs came into town, handcuffed the soldiers to the telephone poles, marched the Muslims off, and executed them. That was the largest massacre in Europe since World War II.
Did the Dutch leaders tell you it was because there were gay soldiers there?
Committee Chairman Carl Levin.
It was a combination.
But did they tell you that? That's my question.
They did. They included that as part of the problem.
That there were gay soldiers
that there,
among
the
Dutch.
The combination was the liberalization of the military, a net effect of basically social engineering.
Pressed to name these people, he said, were Dutch leaders who supposedly told him that Srebrenica happened because the Dutch had gay soldiers. General Sheehan said that he based his allegation on something he was told by a man named Hankman Berman. That's what he said. Hankman Berman told me it was the gays. The Dutch say they've never heard of anyone named Hankman Berman. But they do say there is a former chief of staff in the Dutch defense ministry whose name is General Henk van den Bremen. So maybe that's who General Sheehan meant? Turns out it couldn't have been him either. General van den Bremen says what General Jack Sheehan says about gay soldiers is, and I quote, absolute nonsense. Bremen says he never said anything like that to Sheehan, and besides, what Sheehan's claiming about Srebrenica just is not true. In the one day since General Sheehan made these comments, the Dutch have gone nuts about this. The Dutch defense minister said that General Sheehan's comments were, quote, scandalous and unbefitting a soldier. The Dutch defense ministry spokesman said it is astonishing that a man of his stature can utter such complete nonsense. The Dutch foreign minister called Sheehan's comments extremely strange, saying the claim was, quote, the bizarre private opinion of someone without an official function. The head of the Dutch military union said, that man is just crazy. That sounds harsh, but what else can I say, because it's complete nonsense. The Dutch ambassador to our country said the military mission of Dutch UN soldiers at Srebrenica has been exhaustively studied and evaluated. There is nothing that suggests any relationship between gays serving in the military and that mass murder. Even the Dutch prime minister weighed in on this, calling Sheehan's remarks way off the mark and saying they should never have been made. Let's hope the Dutch are slightly less horrified with Jack Sheehan and with us the next time we go back to them yet again to ask them to serve with our troops in Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere else.
I'm Christopher Gall with News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending December 18, 2010. The U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy requiring lesbian and gay service members to stay in the closet is being relieved of duty. A last-ditch effort to block consideration of repeal of the 1993 law in the U.S. Senate failed early in the day on December 18th. At least 60 votes in the 100-member chamber were needed to overcome Republican Party obstructionism, led by Arizona's John McCain, to prevent an up-or-down vote on the issue after it was separated from the annual military spending bill and reintroduced as a standalone measure. Six Republicans joined the Democratic majority in a 63-33 vote to block a threatened filibuster that would have ended repeal chances in the waning days of the current congressional session. Final passage, which requires a simple majority, was all but guaranteed to reach President Obama for his signature by the end of the year. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed in the House of Representatives earlier this week for the second time. The vote in the House was 250-175, with 16 more yes votes than in the first vote in May.
With hopes for the ASAP demise of the ban on transgender service members, that's how we reported on the now-defunct Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy 10 years ago.
You know you're a fake. Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake.
Respect my authority!
Ha, 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 ha.
Truly, music hath charms to soothe the savage COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns, and queer performers around the world are proving that with their online offerings. Here's a sample of how the Boston Gay Men's Chorus and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus each pay tribute to first responders, frontline healthcare personnel, and other essential workers. You can enjoy the complete video performances of the Boston Gay Men's Chorus singing Everything Possible and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus's blending of True Colors and Brave at thiswayout.org. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Laura Dickinson Turner and Michael Taylor Gray, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Steve Bush, produced by Jeb Proctor and Brian Burns, and Taryn James, Michelle Pleasant, and Christopher Gall. Thanks also to Barney Frank. The Clash, Brent McCullough, and the Boston Gay Men's Chorus and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This lineup thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Christopher Matthews, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WADR Junesville, Wisconsin, KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane, Washington, 2XX Canberra City, Australian Capital Territory, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe and stay tuned.